Good evening. On behalf of the League of Women Voters, I would like to welcome you to this evening's Colorado 3rd Congressional General Election Candidate Forum. My name is Laurie Meininger. I am the president of the League of Women Voters of La Plata County and a resident of Durango. Also with us tonight is Dr. Lori Smith Schell, who will serve as our moderator. Welcome, Dr. Schell.
Thank you.
I would now like to introduce our Spanish language interpreter, Martin Better, who will quickly explain to our Spanish-speaking audience how to access the Spanish language service for tonight's forum. Martin?
Thank you. Hello, everybody. I'm Martin Better Longo, the Spanish interpreter for tonight's forum. I'd like to thank the League of Women Voters for providing interpretation for this forum and supporting efforts of language justice. I will first give the instructions for accessing the interpretation in English so that English speakers can help direct Spanish speakers to the interpretation channel if needed. You will see a globe that says interpretation appear at the bottom of the screen when the interpretation to access the Spanish interpretation, you will click on the globe and then click on the Spanish channel. I'll explain this in Spanish now. Hola, soy Martín Beterlongo y actuaré de intérprete para el foro de esta noche. Quiero agradecer a la Liga de Mujeres Votantes por proveer servicios de interpretación para esfuerzos de justicia lingüística. Cuando una interpretación se active, verán un globo aparecer en la parte inferior de su pantalla. Para acceder a la interpretación, deben hacer clic en el globito en la parte inferior de su pantalla y de ahí hacer clic en el canal de español. Muchas gracias. Estoy listo para empezar. I'm ready to begin. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Martin. The 3rd Congressional District, also known as CD3, is the largest geographical district in Colorado. The district includes most of the rural western slope in the western third of the state, with a small section incorporating the southern portions of the Eastern Plains. It includes the cities of Aspen, Durango, Glenwood Springs, Grand Junction, Ignacio, and Pueblo, plus numerous towns and unincorporated areas. It encompasses 29 counties and includes two Native American tribes, the Ute Mountain Ute, headquartered in Toyoc, and the Southern Ute Tribe, headquartered in Ignacio. The population of our district is just over 750,000 based on the 2020 census. There are 8 congressional districts in Colorado. 7 leagues across the district have come together to sponsor this forum. They include the Gunnison Valley, La Plata, Mesa, Montezuma, Pueblo, San Luis Valley, and Uncompahgre Valley chapters. The League of Women Voters is a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization that does not support or oppose candidates or political parties. Our mission is to empower voters and defend democracy. To do that, we actively encourage the informed and active participation of citizens in government, work to increase understanding of major public policy issues, and influence public policy through education, advocacy, and where necessary, litigation. Participating in and hosting candidate and ballot forums like this event is just one of the many activities that the League engages in to accomplish our mission. The views expressed during this forum are those of the candidates and not those of the League of Women Voters or the moderator. We welcome those joining us by Facebook or via by Zoom. And those of you joining us on Zoom can enable the closed caption feature if you wish. This forum is being recorded and will be available for on-demand viewing via Facebook and the website Vote411. And will be rebroadcast on C-SPAN. This evening's forum may not be recorded without the express permission of the League of Women Voters, and no excerpts may be used in any form by individuals, candidates, or political parties. We are pleased to have candidates Lauren Boebert and Adam Frisch with us this evening. Tonight's forum format is a town hall style forum. It is not a debate. Both candidates have agreed in writing to the ground rules established by the League of Women Voters, and those rules are available on the League of Women Voters Colorado website. Representative Boebert and Mr. Frisch, welcome to tonight's forum.
Honored to be here.
Thank you so much.
And nice to see you, Mr. Boebert.
Each of the candidates this evening will have an opportunity to respond to the same questions. More than 100 questions were submitted by CD3 residents for this forum. A nonpartisan committee of League members from across the district have reviewed them and have selected questions to represent a cross-section of the communities that comprise this congressional district. We will not take live questions this evening, but any that are received will be forwarded to the candidates after the event. And if you have additional questions for the candidates, we encourage you to contact them directly. We thank all of those who submitted questions, as we believe that asking questions of elected officials and candidates seeking public office is one sign of a healthy democracy. It is now my pleasure to introduce our moderator, Dr. Lori Smith Schell. Dr. Schell has been a self-employed energy economist since moving with her husband and three daughters to Durango in 2002. She holds a doctorate in mineral economics and operations research. Reflecting her dual interest in resource economics and analytics. Among unaffiliated voter, Dr. Schell applied the same objective, unbiased analysis, important task of congressional redistricting during her recent service as an of the Colorado Redistricting Commission. Welcome again, Dr. Schell. I now turn it over to you.
Thank you, Lori, and thank you to the League of Women Voters for the opportunity to moderate this evening's forum. It's a pleasure to be here. The goal of the forum is to allow the candidates seeking the CD3 seat to present their views in a fair, nonpartisan setting so that you, the voter, can make an informed voting decision. As Lori mentioned, in the tradition of the League of Women Voters, questions have been solicited from residents of the district and selected to represent the diversity of the citizens' concerns and perspectives. Neither candidate has been given the questions in advance. This is to allow viewers to evaluate each candidate's grasp of the issues that are important to CD3 constituents. So I encourage you to listen carefully to the candidate's responses. Did the candidate actually answer the question? Did the response indicate an understanding of the issue? Does the candidate have good ideas for how to address the problems that we are facing in our district, in our state, and in our country? On the November 8th ballot, there are two candidates running to represent our district in the U.S. House of Representatives: Republican Lauren Boebert, the incumbent, and Democrat Adam Frisch, the challenger. Each representative is elected to a two-year term serving the people of a specific congressional district. Among other duties, representatives introduce bills and resolutions, offer amendments, and serve on congressional committees. There are 435 representatives with full voting rights, a number established in Public Law 62-5 on August 11th, 1911, and in effect since 1913. The number of representatives for each state represents that state's proportionate share of the total U.S. population. And based on the 2020 census, Colorado added one congressional district, bringing our total to 8 congressional districts. Tonight's forum will begin with 3 minutes of opening remarks by each candidate. This will be followed by questions limited to a 2-minute response time for each candidate. After all the questions have been answered by both candidates, each candidate will give 3 minutes of closing remarks to end the forum. Prior to tonight's forum, the ground rules were provided to the candidates and agreed to by each of them. This is a forum directed to you, the voters, not a debate. And with that in mind, I remind the candidates to direct the answers to me and to the audience, and not to each other. This is in the spirit of productive civil discourse and to advance the voters' understanding of each of your views. Also, candidates, please keep your eye on the timer. The timer will keep you informed of your remaining time. And if you should go over the allowed time, I will stop you and move on to the next candidate or question. And I would prefer not to have to do that. The views expressed this evening will be those of the candidates and not of the host. Again, please be aware that the League of Women Voters neither supports nor opposes specific candidates and political parties. So let's get started. We will begin with each candidate's opening statements in the order in which they will appear on the November 8th ballot. Mr. Frisch, you have 3 minutes to please begin.
Thank you so much. My name is Adam Frisch. And the first thing I need to do is welcome League of Women Voters. Thank you so much for everything you do. I am pro-democracy and I am always up for as many people voting as possible. So thanks to everybody in Colorado, especially across CD3. I am a proud CU graduate, 1990 in Boulder, studied economics. I am proud to be born on Fort Peck Indian Reservation in northeastern Montana, where my dad was in the public health service and then went on to become a doctor for 50 years. I'm really proud to have grown up in Minnesota, where my father's father started a grocery store to take care of the mining community in the Iron Range of northern Minnesota. Super proud that my great-grandfather on my mom's side opened up a cattle trading business that my first cousin Josh is now running in northern Minnesota as well, grain elevator, selling trailers, making sure that the ranchers and farmers in northwest Minnesota are looked after. Super proud to have spent a little bit of time in New York City before I ran into going to too many funerals in New York City from 9/11 and had the chance to reset and met my wonderful wife, Katie, and we decided to raise our family and do a business in home construction and residential design and build in Aspen, Colorado, up on in Picken County. And we have a 15-year-old daughter and a 16-year-old son. Super proud of that. When COVID started, I obtained my substitute teaching license. I think it's really, really important that these kids stay in school almost at all costs. And COVID was a disaster for everyone's mental as well as academic performance. And so I'm super proud that these schools are open. And I'm a proud member of PARA. And so thank you for everyone in the teaching community and education community. My wife's the president of our school board. We get involved. I stand up when I see problems. And last year, I looked at what was going on with our current representative with due respect. And I saw something that was not being done. It was not focused on the ranchers and farmers. It was not focused on our veterans in our district. She seemed to be more focused on herself and traveling around the country. I see that her and her mentor, Marjorie Taylor Greene, are the leaders of this entertainment industry that's been talked about. And I think people want to see the circus to stop. I am really excited. For 20 years, I've been saying, if there was a Get Stuff Done party, I'd be in that party. But that party's not doing very well right now. And I think our country is suffering for it. And I think our district is suffering for it immensely. My number one goal when I go to Congress in January is to join the Bipartisan Problem Solvers Caucus. It's made up of 29 Democrats and 29 Republicans. And that's where we got our first infrastructure bill and our first COVID relief package. I'm excited to have further conversations with everybody here. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mr. Frisch. Representative Boebert, you have 3 minutes.
Hello, everyone. I am so happy to be here and I'm proud to be your representative. I'm proud that the Gazette endorsed me, calling me a champion for small business, the working class, and the middle class. I encourage you to visit my website for a list of my accomplishments on the job, on healthcare, water, forest, roads, and a list of 20 bipartisan amendments that included help for our Native Americans, children, and our veterans. During our last debate, I launched AspenAdam.com to fact-check a bunch of false attacks Adam's been making about my voting record. At AspenAdam.com, I've posted a detailed vote-by-vote explanation about my strong support for our veterans, a secure border, energy development, and so much more. I'm fighting for all of us every day because inflation is out of control. Energy costs are skyrocketing, while liberal Democrats like Adam are running like Republicans because they know their policies are killing our pocketbooks. Nancy Pelosi is running a con game in Washington, D.C., and we are all paying the price for it. Nancy's con game works like this. She slaps a name on a horrible bill that sounds really good. She loads it up with thousands of pages of spending we don't need, we can't afford. And then she focuses, she forces a vote in the dead of night with no time for any of us to actually read the bill. Then candidates like Adam spend millions on false attacks because I had the guts to say no, enough is enough. The American people know exactly what's up. I have faith in all of you. We all know Washington is broken. We used to trust our elected leaders on both sides of the aisle to look out for us, but they failed us. I'd never been in politics before this position, and I'm like most Americans who just want the government off our backs. But when liberal extremists tried stripping away my right to protect myself, when they defunded the police and let riots take place in our cities, when they mandated I shut down my small business while Walmart stayed open, I had had enough. Too often, it feels like the government is working against us rather than for us. I'm fighting hard for all of us on the issues that matter most to our district. I made sure Denver suburbs didn't steal 7 billion of gallons of water from the San Luis Valley. I made sure Forest Service got funding to help firefighters. I introduced the most comprehensive forest management bill in decades. I will always stand up for Colorado Energy because we have the cleanest natural gas in the country and arguably the world. This is a big election. Liberal Democrats like Adam are running like moderates because they know they can't win if they are truthful about their policies. And if Adam was running a clean race, he wouldn't have lied about his voter registration and would brag to you about his plan to shut down our natural gas. The choice is to stick with Nancy Pelosi and her party of liberal extremists or stand like I do for reducing inflation and fighting for energy security. I believe the direction of our country hangs in the balance. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Boebert. I apologize for being on mute. Each candidate will now be asked the same question and will have 2 minutes to respond. We will alternate which candidate goes first for each question, starting with Representative Boebert. So for the first question, according to the 2020 census, households in Colorado's Congressional District 3 have a median annual income of $58,000 compared to $65,000 across the entire United States. Voters in CD3 are concerned about the rising costs of living, such as food, housing, and childcare. What legislation will you support to address these concerns that will have a near-term impact on the residents of CD3? And what specific impact or impacts do you see possible? Representative Boebert.
Thank you so much. You know, the cost of living is a topic that we have on a regular basis here in Colorado's 3rd District. The affordability of housing and people actually being able to afford the fuel to put in their vehicles to go to work. One of the problems that we're seeing right now is skyrocketing inflation. Inflation is at 8.3%. That is 1 month of your annual salary. I don't think anyone would volunteer 1 month of their annual salary, but you don't have to choose to do that because Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden made that choice for you and took it from you. So when we're talking about the affordability of being able to live, we have to bring into focus the reckless spending in Washington, D.C. Now, I mentioned Nancy Pelosi's con game, and one of the scams that goes on in Washington, D.C. is the process that legislation comes to the House floor. It often bypasses the committees of jurisdiction. For instance, I serve on the budget committee, and we don't have a budget. even budget reconciliations bypass the budget committee and go straight to the House floor for a vote, spending trillions of dollars. We've added $10 trillion this Congress in new spending. This is absolutely out of control, and it is continuing the rise of inflation. And if we really want to tackle that, we have to stop the reckless spending in Washington, D.C. Washington doesn't have a revenue problem. It has a spending problem. And we have to regain our energy independence. This is monumental and something that we have to focus on right now. I also serve on the Natural Resources Committee. And unfortunately, Nancy Pelosi will not allow the Democrats to talk about energy in America. Instead, they want to rely on our adversaries for our energy development rather than producing that good, clean energy right here at home, where we could literally be exporting freedom around the world and lowering costs for Americans. There are 20 million Americans currently who are struggling and cannot afford their electric bill. So we have to address the inflation and we have to address the energy crisis.
Thank you. Mr. Frisch.
Yeah, thank you, Doctor. This is the number one question I hear after driving about 15,000 miles in the primary and the general election. And first, I'd like to make a point of clarification. I'm Adam Frisch. I'm not Nancy Pelosi. Energy independence, obviously, number one, is what we're having with our high gas prices. I've been very clear well before I got involved in anything to do with running for CD3. We produce the cleanest coal, the cleanest energy. We do great work in solar and natural gas, and as well as in wind. We need to make sure that we stay independent as possible. I've made it very clear that I'm not happy with the Biden White House spending half their White House trying to shut down more regulations to get to this renewable energy, which is important in time. But when the White House in the United States is showing up in Venezuela, in Iran, and then Saudi Arabia literally begging for them to turn the taps on, I think it's completely counterproductive. That's number one. Lowering drug prices. Current Representative Boebert voted against the bill. You can go to my website and look it up about lowering drug prices and putting a cap on insulin, which I think is very important for everyone who has diabetes out there. And there's a lot of them in our district. I also think it's important to realize that affordable housing is something that's crushing people. I spent a lot of time, almost a decade, working on that. And it's certainly affecting a lot of people as I drive around in Alamosa and Walsenburg and Cortez. People are being crushed by that. And it's not just legislation. It's also bringing back money. The hardworking men and women and businesses send a tremendous amount of money to D.C. And I think it's incumbent, unlike our current representative, to not to say no, because that money, if it doesn't get brought back here, it's going to Denver, it's going to Detroit, it's going to New York City, and it's going to rural Maine. And we should be bringing back the hard tax dollars that are earned by our businesses and men and women and bring those back here, invest them in our communities to lower prices and lower inflation. Thanks.
Thank you. We're going to address the housing crisis now. CD3 has a housing crisis that spreads across rural, urban, and resort communities. So does the federal government have a role in addressing the housing crisis? And what specifically will you do to address the housing crisis in CD3? And we're going to start with Mr. Frisch. 2 minutes.
Thank you, Doctor. You know, for the longest time, this housing crisis was definitely a resort community conversation. And my community started working on this problem in 1974. I started working on this problem in 2009. It's been a long time. And what's obviously happened over the past couple of years, the affordable housing crisis is hitting Pueblo, it's hitting Grand Junction, it's hitting Rifle, it's hitting Walsenburg. And we need to figure out how to produce more housing. We also need to figure out how to increase wages, because if people have more money, it will also make the cost of buying a house better. Mortgage rates are going up, rent is going up, and we need to figure out how to bring home. Again, there are millions and millions of dollars that have been turned down by our current representative. And if we're not bringing those monies back here, they're showing up in the other 434 districts. This is not a liberal or conservative or moderate conversation. It is, you bring home the bucks to have the local elected and civic leaders make those investments in that community. So I would love to see a lot more money come from DC straight into the county level and local control, local control, local control. Let's see those county commissioners and those city council people and the land use planners and the nonprofits that are working in affordable housing night and day to try to figure out how to provide housing. Because I think we can all agree If people don't have stable housing, it's really, really hard to have a stable life. And that goes for education and children and education. So I'm really, really proud of all the work I've done. And this is the conversation that I'm having. And there's a lot of conservative, a lot of Republican county commissioners are picking my brain about how our community's been able to do that. And again, it's about bringing home the hardworking tax dollars that our citizens and businesses send to Washington, D.C. Let's get that money back reinvested and let the local leaders put it to work.
Thank you, Mr. Frisch. Representative Boebert, 2 minutes.
I think that we need to bring this back to inflation when talking about affordable housing. And I don't see how Adam can possibly relate to how hard inflation is hitting everyone's pocketbooks. I don't think Adam even understands what causes inflation. On August 8th, Adam posted on social media that he supported Biden and Pelosi's Inflation Reduction Act because, quote, it's an important step forward in reducing inflation. But on the campaign trail, Adam is telling voters that it won't reduce inflation. So keep in mind, Adam pushed for more taxes as an Aspen City Councilman, higher fees, higher water rates, higher electricity rates, while he jacked up Aspen's budget by tens of millions of dollars and even took millions of dollars from Aspen's affordable housing program. And look, just like all the Democrats, Pelosi and the extremists on the left are jacking up the cost of everything with their inflationary policies. And housing is no exception. That said, there are reasons to be optimistic. I'm a huge fan of Senator Tim Scott's Opportunity Zone legislation. It's attracted tens of billions of dollars in investment in low-income communities, including some in our own communities right here in CD3. This is a private capital idea that is going into communities that need it most. Opportunity zones are funding more apartment complexes and townhome buildings than I've ever seen in Grand Junction, including the Sundance Village Townhomes Complex and so much more. Durango has established opportunity zones, and opportunity zones have launched even in Montrose for residential and commercial construction. And, you know, I'm also really excited about the Mosaic Housing announcement to build a modular home factory in Grand Junction. I am a huge fan of opportunity zones, but we cannot talk about affordable housing without talking about the reckless spending in Washington, D.C., and how Adam has been on the record saying that he would have voted for these bills that spend trillions of dollars that representatives don't have time to read. And,
thank you, Representative Boebert. Thank you.
Yes.
We're going to change the subject and talk about immigration. So a 2021 Gallup poll found that 75% of Americans consider immigration good for America, but do not support illegal immigration. Congress last passed significant immigration reform in 2013, almost 10 years ago. Do you consider immigration reform a priority? If yes, what would that reform include? And if no, why not? And we will start with Representative Boebert. 2 minutes.
We need to fix our immigration system. There's no question about that. But for me, that starts with securing the border. I think it's immoral that the left's open border policies encourage poor and often desperate people to break our laws while they risk their lives and put our own law enforcement officers' safety at risk. The United States is an extremely generous country when it comes to legal immigration. Under our current laws, we allow more people to immigrate to our country legally than all other countries. More than a million legal immigrants come here on green cards and another million and a half come here on temporary work visas. One of the great experiences I have as a member of Congress is to welcome naturalized citizens who come to our country the right and legal way. They have proven their allegiance to our country, and they have patiently waited and followed our laws. That makes it even more wrong to watch the full-on invasion at our southern border. Kids that were put in the hands of the cartels that are trafficked into our communities. And of course, the fentanyl poisoning that is coming into our country. Colorado is number 2 in the nation for fentanyl poisoning. And that's because of the policies that attract that into our state. This has to be taken care of, and that's why I've introduced legislation to designate fentanyl as a weapon of mass destruction. These open border policies are killing Americans, and this is something that we have to have as a priority, but we have to be able to secure our southern border. I talked to Border Patrol agents, and I asked them, what can I do to help you? After all, I'm from the federal government, and I'm here to help. And they say, you know, right now, we don't need more resources, personnel, or even infrastructure. We just need the policy in place that allows us to do our job. And unfortunately, under this administration, that policy was stripped from them, and we have wide open borders, and Secretary Mayorkas needs to be held accountable, and you deserve a representative that is going to hold him accountable for these open borders.
Thank you, Representative Boberg. Mr. Frisch, 2 minutes.
Immigration is a big problem. Prosecuting the head of the Department of Homeland Security is not going to solve anything. And it's going to be a show that's going to happen possibly if the House of Representatives are controlled by the Republicans. Listen here. The business community should be running this conversation and try to bring that forward. There is a problem on the border. It's an epic proportion. It's a drastic thing. We need to make sure that we have a secure border, but it can be done with humanity. There's not a zero-sum game between having a humane immigration policy that this country should be proud of, Lady Liberty should be proud of as well. But there are thousands of people coming over day, and it's not healthy for them. It's not safe for them and their families. The Gang of Eight, four Democratic senators and four Republican senators, including John McCain and Lindsey Graham, about 8 or 9 years ago, proposed a very thoughtful bipartisan plan to manage immigration that was going to support the business community with special focus on ag and ranching, which is really important to CD3, worked on those that were here undocumented, but they had to wait in the proper line to make sure that those who came through legally are the first people to have a chance. We do need to, I disagree with the money that we need. We need to put more funding on the border to process those families and children and people that want to go through the legal process. We should be supporting the legal immigration process as much as possible. For too long, the extremists on either side of this conversation have been driving this conversation. It's time to have the chambers of commerce and the business communities try to take a lot of emotion out of it, and that allows this business communities to thrive at the same time to allow who we are as a country to remain humane and positive and optimistic and forward thinking. We are the land of the home and the free, the brave. And I think we always need to look at Lady Liberty, the Statue of Liberty, and say we can be proud of that.
Thank you, Mr. Frisch. Next question. Do you believe that policy implementation can reduce the effects of climate change? If yes, what climate change legislation will you work to pass? And if no, what will you do or say on climate change issues? Mr. Frisch.
Thanks for the question, Doctor. We have a climate crisis, and that's never more apparent in CD3 when we're having a conversation about water. Everybody, ranchers and farmers, conservationists, environmentalists, those in the recreation business, we need to make sure that we have water, and it's protected not only from the suburbs of Los Angeles in Las Vegas and Phoenix, but from the suburbs of Denver. This water needs to stay that falls down in the western slope. It needs to stay to help our farmers and our ranchers with all this technology that's happening in the big city of Denver. I believe that beef is still the largest export, and that is important that we honor that ranching heritage and that ranching economy. It's really, really important. And the same thing, you know, we have a 100-year water bill, and it's going to come up for legislation, and it's going to come up there. And at some point, there's going to be 8 people from Colorado sitting across the table from 52 members of Congress from California. And I ask you and your family and your business to think about that, about who do you want sitting in that chair in Washington, D.C., focused in a competent way to work in a bipartisan manner to make sure that water stays here. That's number one. There is a way for us to continue to work in a responsible way towards more renewable energy. Our 150-year-old steel mill in Pueblo is 90% solar powered. It's a great example. There's hundreds of new jobs being created. Also in Pueblo, it's becoming the world leader in the manufacturing of the wind turbine towers, those 300-foot towers. If you need anything welded with steel, Pueblo, Colorado is the best place in the world to do that. We also need to make sure to balance this, that we make sure that we remain the cleanest producer of nat gas and oil and coal in the country to make sure we're not showing up on the doors of Saudi Arabia begging for help.
Thank you. Representative Boward, 2 minutes.
Yes. So there is absolutely a reason that the Gazette has called Adam an imposter. And this is exactly what it comes down to. He has voted for climate change, for carbon taxes. This would only further the energy crisis that we're having. And if we're going to talk about the climate, we have to talk about good, clean energy production, responsible energy production. And just pushing that cost on constituents of Colorado's 3rd District is not going to help help the problem. And if we are going to focus on any climate change policies, any climate initiatives like reducing carbon emissions, then we have to start with our forests. One catastrophic wildfire emits more carbon emissions in just a few days than every vehicle running in the state of Colorado 24/7 for an entire year. So we have to be able to manage our forests. And my concerns about our forests is one of the reasons I'm glad to be a member of the House Natural Resources Committee. Republicans should lead on this issue because we care about clean air, clean water, and healthy forests just as much as anyone. And that starts with managing our forests more responsibly. The left's environmental extremist movement has led to overgrown forests that create a tinderbox that light on fire every single summer. And there's no middle ground on the left's movement to shut down our forests to human activity. Even Joe Biden was here with a massive land grab just today. There are 6 billion standing dead trees in the West. And I don't think that Adam Frisch's gas-guzzling RV that he is driving all throughout the district is helping with carbon emissions that people are so focused on reducing. But I say we have to start with managing our forests if we want good, clean air and water resiliency and to be good stewards of.
Thank you, Representative Boward. Okay, our next question. Homicides, suicides, and accidental deaths from firearms are now the leading cause of death for children and the second leading cause of death for adults aged 25 to 35. This surpasses motor vehicle deaths and other accidental deaths. What specific legislation or programs will you propose or support to make a significant impact on gun-related deaths while remaining true to the U.S. Constitution's Second Amendment? Representative Boward, 2 minutes.
Yes, well, the Constitution guarantees us the right to own and bear a firearm. You know, Chicago has a complete crime spree, and it's and that's increasing in these gun deaths as well. So I don't think there's any legislation to promote more responsible gun ownership. If we're really concerned about the crime and about the deaths that are taking place in our nation, we need to secure our southern border, stop the fentanyl that is coming in, which is the number one killer of the number one leading cause of death of adults 18 to 45 year olds. And it's killing our children as well. And in Colorado, fentanyl, 4 grams, used to be a felony, and now it is a misdemeanor. This is absolutely terrible, and it is encouraging people to bring that into our state. We certainly need responsible gun ownership, but that doesn't involve restricting the rights of Americans to own and to bear a firearm. So I wouldn't do anything that infringes on the rights of Americans. We already have laws on the book. Enforce those laws. Chicago should look like a utopia with all of the gun laws that they have. Enforce the laws that are on the book and let's start there. But we don't need to restrict law-abiding citizens and their ability to defend themselves. Responsible gun ownership is great, but all of these knee-jerk reactions don't do anything to solve the actual problem. Colorado is number one in the nation for bank robberies, number one in the nation for auto thefts, and number two in the nation for fentanyl overdoses. It is the defund the police movement, the removal of qualified immunity from our police officers, and the lack enforcement of our laws that's encouraging this crime to take place in our state.
Thank you. Mr. Frisch, 2 minutes.
Yeah, thank you, Doctor. Let's get back to the question that you asked. Post-COVID has been a disaster in not only the physical health, but the mental health of our country, especially the children in CD3, not having them in school, stressed out parents from losing their jobs, I mean, put out of work. The suicide is the number one cause of death for children aged 10 to 14. It's just an utter, utter disaster. And again, we all send a lot of money from CD3 to Washington, D.C. And if that money is not being tried to be brought back home here, it ends up in other rural areas and other urban areas, including Denver. I'd much rather see a lot more of that money end up specifically and directly bypassing the state of Colorado and Denver, with all due respect, going right to the counties. We have 28 counties in our district, and I would love to see our county health departments, all 28 of them, much more better funded to make sure that those boots on the ground, local control, the mental health professionals, the doctors and the physicians are much better ideas of what's going on in Otero County or Moffitt County compared to Pickens County, to compared to Rio Blanco County, to Garfield County. And I'd love to see a lot more funding there to make sure we can get to the root cause of what's happening in our mental health crisis. And to me, that's a really, really big problem that is really hard to talk about, and it really needs to get addressed. And even in some of our more wealthy counties, we have high suicide rates and mental health issues. So money does not solve all problems. We definitely need to see more money here. I'm a big proponent of the Second Amendment. It's important that people be able to protect themselves, protect their families, protect their businesses. It's really, really important to make sure people can go hunting and practice shooting on the range. And I've been very, very supportive of the bipartisan gun safety legislation that was passed in the U.S. Senate. The first time in 26 years, and again, billions of dollars in mental health. So everyone in D.C. understands that's important too. Thanks,
everybody. Thank you. Okay, our next question. Do you believe that the federal government has a role in educating our children? If you do, what role do you believe the federal government should play? And if no, with whom does the responsibility lie? Mr. Frisch, we'll start with you. 2 minutes.
Yeah, thank you, Doctor. You know, when, as I mentioned before, when COVID started, I obtained my substitute teaching license for 3 years with the state of Colorado. I'm a very proud member of the para community, which I know a lot of people are here. My wife is the president of our school board. I have a 15-year-old daughter and a 16-year-old son that are in high school. So obviously education is really, really important to me. There's a lot of great things about Colorado, but its state funding is an utter disaster and a disgrace. And I can tell that firsthand from being in these classrooms. And, you know, my last tour in the primary, 6 days, my son and I did 54 communities, 1,900 miles, and we spent time in as many school districts as we could to let people know how important rural school funding is, because the school funding in rural Colorado should have the same access as in Cherry Creek and also our fancy resort communities. From a national funding federal role, the federal role is supplying the funding and letting the local school boards work with the local parents to figure out what the best reading, writing, and arithmetic and policies and supporting arts education and a holistic child thing, a holistic child syllabus is important. And so I so cherish to try to figure out how to get more money, not just from Denver, but also from DC. And I'll not be shy about trying to get that money back into our community, but local control, especially for the school boards and those local parents, that's our balance.
Okay. Thank you. Representative Boebert, 2 minutes.
Yes. So the federal government has done a terrible job. I don't believe that there should even be a federal Department of Education. Local control with grant with rights for parents needs to be our focus. Keep the money with the children. Counties working hand in hand with parents do it best. I support funding the students, not the system. Less federal control, more local control. And in 2019, more than half of Colorado students in grades 3 through 8 performed below grade level in reading, writing, or math. And since 2020, 1.3 million children have left the public school, despite the FBI calling them terrorists. Parents are taking charge because they've learned firsthand how teachers' unions are looking out for themselves more than our kids. One-size-fits-all solutions don't work. Decisions are made best locally. There should not be this federal Department of Education. The money we invest in public education should follow our students, not the institution, allowing parents to make their best decision for their children. When it comes to higher education, even Nancy Pelosi said the president doesn't have legal authority to simply wipe away student debt. And so it's grossly unfair to those who paid off their student loans or never got loans to be forced to pay for other people's student loans. So the entire system is absolutely broken. And, you know, it's really interesting to bring up that, Adam, that your wife is on the Aspen school board, because there has been proven critical race theory and terrible comprehensive sex ed that has come out of that school district that parents have fought very hard against. And this has to stop. We have to put education first. There's a reason why our children are failing in reading and writing, because we're putting woke ideologies above all of that.
Thank you, Representative Bobert. Okay, our next question. Residents of CD3 experience high cost and limited availability for both health insurance and healthcare services, despite increased funding by the federal government. What will you do to ensure that healthcare funding is distributed equitably throughout the CD3? And we will start with Representative Bobert. 2 minutes.
So healthcare is a mess. We spend over $800 billion a year on administrative costs, which is $800 billion that isn't going towards the actual care. The insurance companies and the federal government have way too much say in our personal health. My biggest concern is access to quality care in our rural communities, which I was able to get funding for our community health centers through appropriations that I worked very hard to get passed and over the line and signed into law. The bigger the hospital systems, though, and the bigger the insurance companies are, I think the more irrelevant they view us. I worked with State Senator Matt Soper and Delta Health to secure a special status for Delta Health, which would lower drug costs and increase reimbursement rates for the hospital. I led on securing that $1.74 billion to expand access in our community health centers. I've joined legislation to improve and expand access to telehealth, and I work hard to fight against medical mandates to protect the freedoms and livelihoods of our healthcare workers and military personnel that have been on the front lines and who have absolutely been disenfranchised by government overreach and unconstitutional mandates. And as conservatives, we should push for more competition, closer patient-doctor relationships, and more portability with our healthcare insurance. And there's some good work on health freedom accounts going on in the House Freedom Caucus right now that I think is pretty interesting and doesn't take anything away from anyone, but it does help expand our options. It basically expands the role of personal health and savings accounts, so your health insurance can stay with you personally. That will lead to more competition without taking away anyone's current insurance options. So I think that that's worth taking a look at. And I certainly think there's plenty of room for individual states to develop their own solutions rather than rely on the Democrats to take over the nationalization of our healthcare.
Thank you, Representative Bobert. Mr. Frisch, 2 minutes.
Thank you very much. We obviously, as you state, have some of the highest healthcare costs and insurance rates, without a doubt, in the country. There's a lot of our bigger communities in Pueblo and Grand Junction and elsewhere that have really strong healthcare facilities. The problem is they're showing up at New York City prices. So accessibility is not only not having to spend a half a tank of gas to actually see your healthcare provider. But also, it's really, really important to make sure that you don't get put in bankruptcy because of it. And we need more competition for sure. We need to make sure that the private practice practitioners are staying in the valley, in the, on the reservations, in the most rural parts of the district. Under no circumstances do I support any type of nationalized medicine. I think it's important that we remain a private sector healthcare system that provides, again, more funding. And let's talk about the VA system that we should all be very proud of. But at the end of the day, and the votes show and the facts show that in veterans' bills, which are a lot to do with healthcare, including the PAC Act, which expanded VA healthcare benefits for veterans exposed to burn pits, Representative Boebert turned that down and the PACT Act, as she has for 80% of all the bills in her term that had to do with veterans. And most of those veterans bills had to do with healthcare. And so we need to continue to figure out, not just for the veterans, but also with the civilians. And again, the mental health care access has been just decimated over the past couple of years, right? As we start to see a post-COVID boom of people really struggling in all ages and all ethnicities and all incomes. And we need to figure out a way to have retain more doctors and nurses in our rural community. One of the reasons I'm really proud to be endorsed by Don Quorum, a Republican who ran against Lauren Boebert in the primary, is that he had a very, very solid, thoughtful, bipartisan conversation about trying to focus on rural healthcare access and affordability.
Thank you, Mr. Frisch. Thank you to the candidates for your timely responses to the questions. To maintain our 1 hour limit on the forum tonight, we're going to move to closing statements. Each candidate will now present his or her closing statement, and this will be in the reverse order of how you will appear on the ballot. So Representative Boebert, 3 minutes for your closing remarks.
Thank you so much. It is just such an honor to be with you all and to be your representative and to take this fight all the way to Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats. And, you know, it shows when the Gazette comes out and calls me a champion of small businesses and the working class and the middle class. That there is something that's happening here to actually prove that we will fight for our district. As your representative, I've proven that I will always fight. When Denver suburbs tried stealing 7 billion of gallons of water per year from the San Luis Valley, I made sure our voice was heard and helped put a stop to that. Our forests are in bad shape. I helped secure $48 million for the U.S. Forest Service. I also introduced the most comprehensive forest bill in decades because our forests are being mismanaged, destroyed by beetles and forest fires. Inflation is killing everyone's pocketbooks. I'm fighting to open our supply chains, ramp up our domestic energy, and I'm voting against Biden Pelosi's spending sprees every chance that I get. As the mom of four school-aged boys, I stand with the parents who want to have more of a say in their children's educations. Parents shouldn't be demonized by their own government for looking out for their kids' best interests. I've been a strong voice for only having women play in women's sports and using women's bathrooms. I'll always be a strong advocate for the most vulnerable among us, including our seniors and our veterans and the unborn. As a small business owner, I saw firsthand how government shutdowns, broken supply chains, and skyrocketing and it costs make it nearly impossible to keep the doors open of these small businesses. On the other hand, there's a good reason why the Washington Examiner said Adam Frisch is nothing more than an opportunist desperately seeking to get into power. Adam Frisch started his campaign by lying about who he is, and he hasn't stopped since. Adam says he supports Colorado Energy, but Adam passed a resolution to help kill natural gas. Adam said that he's a champion of affordable housing, but he stripped over $11 million from Aspen's affordable housing program, and he jacked up electricity rates for affordable housing tenants, and he dodged paying affordable housing fees when he remodeled his $9 million Aspen home. In just 8 years, Adam increased Aspen city budget by over $40 million, and he increased government fees by up to 1,200%. Now in D.C., those millions quickly turned to billions and quickly turn to trillions. And God forbid if Democrats find out what comes after a trillion. If you want more taxes, more fees, more government spending, and more inflation, then Adam's your guy. I've launched aspenadam.com to fact check Adam, and I've added detailed explanations about all of my votes and my support for our veterans, unlike Adam is lying to voters. And I actually understand
the impact
of Nancy Pelosi's bills on our health.
Thank you. Mr. Frisch, 3 minutes, please.
Thank you, Doctor. And again, thank you, the League of Women Voters, for all that you do for our country, especially CD3. Again, I'm Adam Frisch. I'm not Nancy Pelosi. I am super excited to be endorsed by the Durango Herald, a CD3 newspaper. That Gazette newspaper is Colorado Springs. I don't know what Washington Examiner newspaper. I assume it's in Washington, D.C. Speaking of endorsements, I'm super excited and honored to have Marina Zimmerman, Republican candidate in the primary, Don Corum, who got 36% of the vote in the Republican primary in CD3. Senator Corum came out with a strong endorsement. He agrees that we need the circus to stop and have someone focus on the needs of the district, not of our representative. On to endorsements. Super excited to be endorsed by the National Council of Coal Miners. Super excited to be endorsed by No Labels, which is the leader of this Problem Solvers Caucus. Again, 29 Dems and 29 Republicans working in a bipartisan manner to get stuff done. Super excited to be endorsed by the Forward Party, which has recently merged with Renew America Movement, made up of a series of serious Republicans that are not supportive of Donald Trump and this anti-election denying fraud system ecosystem that is out there. Again, we have in our Representative Boebert, with due respect, and her mentor, Marjorie Taylor Greene, the leaders of this angertainment industry, and we're leaving a lot of money on the table that should be coming back here. I'm not running to be the voice of any party. I am going to be hired and fired by the citizens and the families and the businesses of CD3. I don't report to Joe Biden, I don't report to Nancy Pelosi, and I won't be reporting to anyone in D.C. because my focus are on the families and the businesses of our district here. I think it's really important to realize people want the circus to stop. And bipartisan is where I want to go. And that's where I'm getting endorsed by bipartisans. That's why my staff is made up in a bipartisan manner as well. You can go to the Lugar Center from Georgetown University, and there's a great ranking. It's a sad one for our district, of bipartisanship. Out of 435 members in the House, our current representative is 433 out of 435. Her only claim is that she's above her mentor at 434 in Marjorie Taylor Greene. And don't underestimate it. There are a bunch of Democrats on the bottom of the bipartisan list as well. My goal is to be in that top 10 to top 15 bipartisan index to make sure that I'm working for the men and the women and the businesses in our industry, in our district. Representative Boebert is 0 for 39 in legislation. She has gotten 0 of her bills out of committee. I ask for your vote. Thank you very much.
Thank you to both of the candidates. I will now turn it back over to Lori for closing.
Thank you, Dr. Schell. And thank you to each of the candidates for taking the time to participate in tonight's forum. Thank you to the League members from across the Congressional 3rd District and to the League of Women Voters of Colorado for their support and assistance in hosting this forum. And a special thank you to you, our viewers and listeners, for attending tonight and for your questions. Citizen participation in candidate forums like this one is another hallmark of the strength of our democratic institutions. As we explained at the beginning of tonight's forum, we were not able to take live questions, but we will forward those questions to the candidates. Thank you for your passionate engagement tonight. The League of Women Voters would like to remind those attending that the views expressed this evening are those of the candidates and not of the sponsoring organization. Prior to casting your vote, we encourage all voters to learn more and to do their own research on any of the statements made by the candidates this evening. To find out more about the candidates' positions on issues, we recommend that you also visit the website Vote 411, sponsored by the League of Women Voters. Each candidate has provided information to that site, and a recording of this forum will be available there as soon as possible. We would like to remind you once again that the League of Women Voters is a nonpartisan organization that neither supports or opposes candidates or political parties. Ballots should be arriving in your mailbox next week. If you do not receive your ballot, please contact your county clerk. And election day is November 8th. And remember, your vote is your voice. How you vote is up to you. We encourage voters to vote in every election and to be as well informed as possible when casting their ballot. Thank you all very much again for attending. That concludes our forum this evening. And thank you for being an active and engaged citizen. Good night.
And you've been listening to a virtual candidate forum for Congressional District 3 candidates, incumbent Lauren Boebert and challenger Adam Frisch, right here on KSPK. We want to thank the League of Women Voters of Colorado, who have graciously allowed us to bring you the audio of tonight's forum. Thank you for listening. We now continue with our regular programming here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK, Walsenburg, Alamosa, and Trinidad, Southern Colorado's best country music. It's 7 o'clock.
The family of Idaho veteran Dane Partridge says he was the U.S. citizen that the State Department's confirmed was